The other thing that I would like to say is I firmly did, made a commitment to Michael this spring, Micah, and paid him, and to pay him.
It doesn't get any better after I hear it again. That was Jerry Jones talking about Micah Parsons. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And that was the biggest news without a doubt over the weekend in sports, was that Micah Parsons indeed traded, and not just traded, in the division to the Green Bay Packers. Because why? Why not have him go anywhere else, to any other division? No, he gets to face the Bears for two games a season now.
I was surprised.
Joyful.
If you're going to trade him, why not trade him to the other conference? Like, goodness, do you really want to see this man that often? Also, did you cringe when he said Michael, or is that just me?
Jerry speaks a language that is his own, but the whole thing is just, it doesn't instill confidence. And I know a lot of people ask me, you know, you grew up a Cowboys fan. What do you think? I think that when we talk about the Bears living in the past, the Cowboys have done it a lot worse. It's been 30 years since they got to a conference championship game. You can't say that about the Bears. They've made it sooner than that. They've made it to a Super Bowl more recently. I think attitudes like these are how you get into positions like those. You know what else happens when you trade for those first-round picks that they picked up? And by the way, I've seen Jerry give away two first-rounders for guys like Amari Cooper when Golden Tate fetched a third. The other team gets better, so the draft pick gets worse.
This is an excellent point. My whole thing is, if you were thinking about trading him, why wouldn't you trade him before the draft when you could then use the picks immediately to make your team better? I didn't understand that.
With a new head coach and a new defensive coordinator. Matt Eberflus thought he was going to have Micah Parsons, and now he doesn't. You think that changes things a little bit? You think that changes the calculus for what they were wanting to do?
To be fair, he never had Micah Parsons, because Micah Parsons was out here during a preseason game laying down on the sidelines like he was about to take a nap.
I'm sure he game planned for it, but at the same time.
Meaning what?
Like, when I thought of who was losing in this transaction, I did think of him.
Let's start with the obvious question. The question I'm most curious to address on this show, in this studio, with this person beside me. Is this worse than the Luka Doncic trade?
No, because at the end of the day, you saw this coming a bit because of the relative stalemate. Not only did we not see the Luka Doncic trade coming, neither did the rest of the league. And if that had happened, they would have gotten a ton more in return. So, no. I think in this case, are they both terrible? Yes. Are they both based on reasons that don't seem like player production and adding to the value of the team was a part of the decision-making process? Yeah. Or at least if it were, it didn't matter that much.
So, the follow-up...
I still think Nico Harrison wasn't allowed to pay the Supermax, but that doesn't mean you do what you do to make sure that happened.
No. The vacuum should not have existed in a current, when you talk about Luka Doncic and what happened there. The follow-up I have for you is this. Is this more about Jerry Jones, what I call his boss hog mentality? Those who are familiar with the Dukes of Hazzard will understand the reference.
Oh, yeah.
Or is this about, hey, we really are bad at rushing defense, which they have been, and this makes our rushing defense better? Do you buy any of what he was saying, or do you buy partially what he was saying? Or is this about, I'm the boss here, you're going to do things my way, or we're going to get you out of here?
I think that's part of the issue. Your players should outlast everybody if they have good careers. Not necessarily ownership, not necessarily owner GMship, which is what his title is, not necessarily the general manager. But your whole job is to make sure that that athlete, especially when he's one of the top five players in the NFL, when that's the case, you do what you do to make that person happy, because that's how your team is going to succeed. And, you know, the Dak Prescott stalemate, whatever you want to call that, how that went down, the contract negotiations and therein, I understand that he likes the theater, Jerry Jones. But when you take away that, and if you just said an owner / general manager is doing X, Y, and Z actions, when he's dragging out the process, when he's making it about himself, you would say that that person is a detriment to their team. The issue in the NFL is, though, is that a lot of times you want the bad teams to stay bad because that's how you get better. And that's what we saw the Packers do with this. And for those who say, why didn't the Bears try to get him? They spent their capital already. They spent their draft capital and their monetary capital. They weren't able to do something like that. And that's why the focus becomes even more, I think, on Dio Odengbo in a way, because you've paid him all this money based on potential and you haven't necessarily seen it. Like, that's the other issue with this, is because Micah Parsons is now in your division. It tells you a lot of truths about your team, as if you needed more of that, given that we saw two excellent offenses, the best in the NFL in Detroit last year in the division, and then also the incredible use of Sam Darnold from Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings. Like, you're learning more about your team in a way because you're having to visualize these people, not necessarily going head-to-head against each other, but that you're having to compare them, knowing that you've got a really good basis now for what that looks like.
I think Jerry Jones is a very bad owner, but I think he is, I think he's a very good owner. He's a very bad GM. Good owner because the valuation keeps going up. Good owner because there's no better carnival barker in the NFL who can get the attention. And attention, unfortunately, is capital. And he's built on that. And that's why the Cowboys are worth as much as they are. And also, it doesn't matter in the big scheme of things, unless you're an actual Cowboys fan, none of this matters. Now, it matters for all the other teams that get to benefit, and therefore their rivals who suffer off of a decision such as this. I think the Bears absolutely should not have been in on Micah Parsons because they don't have the bandwidth to do it. If they did, I would say, of course, you go after a guy who's 26 years old, a game wrecker, unanimously, consensus by anybody who knows anything about football. But they weren't in position to do it. And you have to question, well, why weren't you in position to do it? But as you said, Dio, a lot's hanging on Dio Odengbo. After this specifically,
Well, it's the money you invested in Odengbo and in Montez Sweat.
Yeah.
Montez Sweat is a massive part of your salary cap. And appropriately on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670, the score here in Raheem and Harris, there's a comment that says, and I can't read it, the name anyway on air, but I'm guessing that any deal with the Bears would have had Sweat going to the Cowboys. Why is that not? Would you be okay with that? I would. I would because of the trade-off. Like, you're talking about one of the best edge rushers in the National Football League, and the percentage breakdown, and this is courtesy of, I believe it was ESPN, the percentage of how good Micah Parsons is as a pass rusher since 2021. He pressures more than Myles Garrett does on recorded snaps. 16.5% pass rush versus Myles Garrett, who's only 11.9. We talked a lot last year about, if you want the Bears to have a top five defense. That was something that was said a lot last season. And I'm okay with putting it out there as a goal, kind of like we talk about the 70% completion rate. But when it comes to this top five defense discussion, I'm looking back at the Packers defense knowing it was already good. And not only was it good, it was top six in yards per game. And now you add Micah Parsons to that. That is far and away, therefore, based on that calculus, a top five defense. Now, there was news that came out recently talking about the joint sprain in Micah Parsons' back of his L4 and L5 lumbars. But here's my concern about it. He's 26 years old. This was a long-term investment, and Green Bay showed that in that four-year, $188 million contract. A couple of games and whether or not he's ready to go by week one isn't their concern. They made a long-term investment in this man.
Not just a long-term investment, but understanding where he is on this idea of, can you make your team better by adding a dynamic playmaker who's top 10 in the league? The answer is usually no. So when that chance comes, be agile and be ready to pounce on it. And that's what the Packers did. And now I am looking at this division through a new lens.
And I think there's a lot of questions appropriate connected to this that listeners have, that texters have. This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score, talking about the Micah Parsons trade to the Green Bay Packers. The segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. But this from 312 just tuned in. Do you think Jerry Jones knew that Parsons was maybe damaged goods? I don't think it was damage to the extent of you let him go. It was damage to the extent of there's a lumbar issue. Backs are always a concern. I understand why people say that. But you're talking about whether or not he's going to have an epidural to be able to play in week one. This isn't something where they're going to say they're reevaluating after a month. Those are two very different things in my mind. Maybe Jerry Jones decided to make the deal even more because of that. But, you know, Dak Prescott was injured too, and that wasn't as much of an issue to him.
I mean, Dak Prescott's been injured a lot. It wasn't a back.
Yeah, but again, his career hasn't been injury-free by any means. I think probably their best chance to attempt to try to make it to their first title game in 30 years was probably when they brought him back too soon, Prescott. But the point is, I don't necessarily, I think that's giving Jerry Jones more credit than his ego in this case deserves.
Ego's and
that's
doing really a lot of work.
That's what this did. I mean, this was an ego-based thing for him. Because how are you saying to yourself, my team is better after this? It's not.
And that's why I asked the question earlier, because I think genuinely, he probably does believe his rush defense is better than his pass defense was. And he thinks that rush defense is more important maybe than his pass defense. My whole thing is, you had other ways you could shore up your rush defense besides making this trade and still keeping Micah Parsons. I think that's what makes it hilarious to me.
Andrew Billings was a key cog for the Bears' run defense. And we saw what happened when he didn't play. But that's not to say that you can't work around it with talent. This is a top five talent in the league versus what's happening now. Now, what does that do for the rest of the division? I think that that's something not only we track and we compare, but we ask ourselves, you know, how much better does it make a team? The first thing I thought of, though, was as good as Green Bay's defense was last year, and as good as they were at least creating some sort of pressure while they didn't even rush more, you know, they typically rushed four down linemen. This is a game changer for them. And the problem is them play the Packers, you know, play the Bears twice a season. And that's my issue. Like, this is in the division now. As if you needed any more proof that this is the best division in football, you just saw why teams had to level up the way they did.
You say top five. I'm wondering if they are going to be the best defense in the NFL. And that's when it becomes problematic.
I mean, you could argue it. You know, sixth in the NFL last year in yards per game, points per drive, fourth in EPA per drive, which is something we have to pay attention to more now. And they were really good at creating turnovers last year. So once you factor that in, how much more do you think that's going to be effective based on adding Micah Parsons to their team? And, you know, while we were talking about that as Bears observers, I did look up the numbers when it came to how they finished the year. Defensively, yards per game 27th, 13th in points per game at 21.8.
Is that not top 5 or top 10 or top 20?
I don't hate us as a collective for saying, like, well, if they want to have a top 5 defense, this is what they need to do. They want to have this, that needs to happen. We just talked about a major injury that really did hurt them in yards per game. Like, you saw where Billings made a difference in yards per game. Take the Cardinals game for an example there. I'm not saying he solves all of the problems, but I think he helps a lot.
Well, the interesting thing about the Billings is knowing that he's not even a first-teamer this year. And in Dennis Allen's defense, he's a guy that's coming off the... I mean, he's obviously in the rotation, but right. He's not starting the field on the field.
Different requirements of the D.
Yes, and so I'm very interested, and this is something we're going to find out in 7 days, in what Dennis Allen's defense actually looks like. Like, when you talk about the chess pieces he has, first of all, how many of those pieces will be available week one, but also what he does specifically up front to make the jobs of everyone behind the defensive line easier and more reasonable.
Yeah, and for those asking, what did Dallas know? I'm just going to point out the year 1995 to you yet again. You tell me when that's changing. I sincerely believe the Bears have a better chance of changing their fates based on not only the history being shorter, but based on who's doing what right now. Like, that was my first thought. Like, man, we think we're living in the past here in some ways. Ain't nothing compared to down there. Think about the direction the stadium faces. East-west.
steps were skipped.
No, they weren't skipped. They were purposefully denied. They didn't care.
I would say that'd be a skipping of steps if you look at the problem and say, it's not that big of a problem, and just keep it moving. That's bad.
This is a dark question.
Go ahead, give it to
239. Which will be higher, Parsons sack total or the Bears win total?
It's definitely going to be Parsons sack total.
I mean, it's probably Parsons sack total, but that's because it might be really high. You just don't want them all coming in two games in the season. You know what I mean?
It's not great.
No, it is not. We have more coming up next because we got to talk to Ian Happ, our outfielder of residence, after he had a really good game as well against the Braves. Good time to talk to Ian after a walk-off win. September baseball. We discuss it next with Ian Happ on The Score.
Did I talk to Michael?
Micah.